A few years ago, Rassi Cardoza looked out at the lawn of her Dorchester home and said, enough.
Ugh. Cutting the grass and just watering it and I wasn't getting anything out of it. I felt like it was just a big waste of time. Like, what am I getting out of grass? Nothing.
Her front and side yards were small, but there was enough space to put in a raised vegetable bed. Over time, she added another, then another.
I just kind of went crazy with it. So I'd like to show you. All right. Just step over here. We had to put this because...
She planted two pear trees, grapes, flowers for the bees and butterflies.
Strawberries, peppermint to make tea.
And her favorite, a blueberry bush.
This thing pumps out the biggest, juiciest, tastiest blueberries I've ever had. Nothing I have bought in the supermarkets tastes anything close to this.
Cardoza chose plants that thrive in our climate, so she doesn't water much and only uses a little organic fertilizer and no pesticides. The garden is lush and abundant, even with the summer's heat and drought. But looking around the neighborhood, I don't see any other yards like it.
Do you ever get any comments from the neighbors?
Yes, I do. They always walk by and they go, oh, it looks great. I've given neighbors some peppers and some vegetables and I tell them, oh, it's all organic and we don't put anything on it. And they're like, oh, that's awesome.
She's hoping her neighbors will eventually discover what she has, that rethinking your lawn can do a lot of good. Because the average American lawn, especially a perfect green one, does the opposite.
It sucks up resources. Whether it's money, whether it's gasoline, whether it's fertilizer, whether it's pesticides, and it's all in service of an aesthetic that does not support local ecosystems.
That's Uli Lorimer. He's the director of horticulture at the Native Plant Trust.
All right.
We spent a morning driving around the burbs looking at lawns. Tiny little brown ones and giant rolling green ones.
And we're driving past a number of palatial estates.
Yeah, these are some serious lawns.
Yes.
Here. Lawns cover an astonishing amount of land in this country, about 40 million acres. That's approaching the same acreage as wheat.
The scale of it is just mind-boggling, all right? So lawns themselves are likely put all together the size of Pennsylvania.
Just imagining like all of Pennsylvania being one lawn.
Yes, just being one giant lawn, just flat and mowed. And if it takes you 10 hours to drive across it, imagine how long it would take you just to mow one strip.
On top of that, most of this lawn is non-native turf. Because it doesn't belong here, it doesn't always offer much food or habitat to native animals, especially when cut very short. And it's not very resilient. Keeping it perfectly green takes literally tons of water, fertilizer, and pesticides.
So what happens when we get a big rainstorm and all that extra pesticide or additional fertilizer that the lawn doesn't need, it goes into stormwater drains, it gets into local waterways. So there is real environmental harm that comes from the average, stereotypical, suburban house.
Lorimer doesn't hate lawns. It'd be hard to have a cookout or slip and slide without one. And to be fair, having a green lawn in New England isn't as weird as having one in, say, Phoenix, where there's a mega drought and the native ecosystem is a desert. But lawns around here could easily be better for the planet and less work for us. For instance, just mowing every other week instead of every week brings more bees to your lawn and saves money and gas. Or you can go all in, like Erica Tharp. Yeah.
These are daisies that come, and they get so tall. And they're beautiful when they all...
She ripped out the turf in front of her Framingham home altogether and planted wavy, drought-resistant grass and native wildflowers.
My lawn is much more wild than I think the average lawn is, just because you have the wildflowers growing. So, yeah, it's not neat and tidy right now, not at all. But neat and tidy isn't always... good for us, right?
There's waist-high goldenrod, orange butterfly weed, and black-eyed Susans. No fertilizer, a little bit of water, and lots of happy bees.
If we all did something little, we could maybe change future generations on their concept of what a housing tract would look like, what lawn care should be.
U.S. residents use about 59 million pounds of pesticides on their lawns and gardens each year. and 9 billion gallons of water outdoors each day. Changing up our lawns, even a little bit, could have nationwide impact on climate resilience and wildlife habitat. Like Tharp says, it starts with changing our idea of a lawn, from something that takes and takes to something that gives back. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Barbara Moran.